14 verses 13 through 21. I invite you to listen for the word of God. When Jesus heard what had happened to John the Baptist, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." But Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," Jesus said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and gave thanks. And he broke the bread and he gave it to them, and the disciples gave it to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000, besides women and children. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. You know, usually we think about the feeding of the 5,000 as one of Jesus's great miracles. Maybe even the great miracle. If you were to take a survey of people on the streets, they'd probably mention water to wine, walking on water, maybe a healing here or there, but the feeding of the 5,000 is the biggie, right? So we wonder, how in the world can Jesus take just 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and feed so many people? And then we marvel at the leftovers, 12 baskets full. And the idea that there were about 5,000 men, not including women and children. How many people Jesus really must have fed at the end of that day? All 4 gospel writers mention the story of Jesus' miraculous feeding of the multitude with a small amount of bread and fish. So the presence of this story in the Gospels is a clear indication that this was an important event for early believers, capturing, as it does, Jesus's concern both for the material and the spiritual needs of people. When they were sick, Jesus healed them. When they were sad, Jesus encouraged them. And when they were hungry, he fed them. They found fulfillment in Jesus, whom they called Lord. One of the reasons why this particular story became so important to the early church is that it reminds us and them of the miraculous meal we celebrate regularly, and that they celebrated when they gathered together for the breaking of the bread. You can hear the Eucharistic implications. He took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them. 2,000 years later,
you go ahead and see the
later, worst in community, in the same hope of experiencing Jesus in our lives through the breaking of that bread. I've wondered before at the compassion Jesus had to muster for the crowds. Our story finds our Lord at a time of physical exhaustion and emotional distress. I'm not saying that Jesus was depressed or despondent, but a lesser person might have had a sense of hopelessness. I mean, let's check the scriptural record of what's been going on with Jesus the past couple of weeks. You might remember that Jesus had brought his message to his own people, only to receive a stunning rejection in his own hometown of Nazareth, where the people were so angry with what he said that they wanted to throw him off a cliff. Then the religious authorities were dismissive of him, criticizing him and his followers for their petty infractions of minor rules governing eating and religious observances. And now, he's just learned King Herod has executed his cousin, John the Baptist, the one who had baptized him, the one who had supported Jesus's ministry in so many ways and was the lead voice encouraging people to follow Jesus. So this is the context in which we see Jesus and the disciples suspend their active ministry in order to observe a time of Sabbath. Matthew indicates that Jesus decided to pull back from the hustle and bustle and all the joys that come with being an itinerant preacher, just to spend time in a deserted place so that they could think strategy and recharge their emotional batteries. It was a good idea. It didn't work, but it was a good idea. I mean, the crowds, they pursued him as if he were a rock star. They traveled long distances from their homes just to be near Jesus. Did they come in fear of their future? Did they come in hope that he was the Messiah, the long-expected one? We don't know for sure. But Matthew does tell us they were determined to see Jesus, but they didn't plan very well, for the day grew short and they were far from their homes with no food to hold them over until they could return. The disciples expressed a genuine concern to Jesus that the people would need to leave in order to avoid the problem of being stuck on the road in the dark with no food. "This is a deserted place," they said. It's getting late. Send the crowds away so that we can, so that they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." At first, the disciples seemed, I don't know, uncaring. But in reality, it's a practical reason for their apprehension. But Jesus takes a different approach, as he so often does. They didn't need to go away. Just give them something to eat. In calling for the disciples to get involved in this crisis of a temporary refugee people, Jesus established the expectation that his followers should use their compassion to make good things happen. This feeding of people in the wilderness wasn't supposed to be seen as some kind of razzle-dazzle spectacle to enhance Jesus's fame, but instead, an instance that Jesus's followers would distinguish themselves by their compassion, resourcefulness, and generosity. It had been a long day, and the disciples were probably tired. "Come on, Jesus, time's up. Let's lose the crowd and go get something to eat. These people are probably hungry too, and they're ready to get some food and get on their way themselves. So let's get out of here." And in the face of their concerns, in response to their doubts, in spite of their laziness, whatever it may have been for them, Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." "What do you mean? Feed them? Maybe you haven't noticed, Jesus, but there's like 5,000 of them on the hillside, and all we brought was a couple of little fish and a couple loaves of bread, and you give them something to eat." You see the miracle, and it's a good one, and it makes a great story. But if we only focus on what Jesus prayed, or on trying to figure out how he did what he did, or on the crowds, or the fish, or the bread, we're missing the point. The gospel, the good news in the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is found in Jesus' simple response to the disciples. You give them something to eat. Sure, the disciples were still skeptical. Yes, Jesus did whatever he did to make the food go as far as it did. But what he says to the disciples, and what the disciples do, is even more profound and powerful. You give them something to eat. Don't send them away. Don't look for a way out. Don't hope someone else will do it. Don't wait for tomorrow. You give them something to eat. And don't we sound and act like the disciples too much of the time? We don't have enough bread, whatever bread may be, whether it's time or money or energy or willingness or ability or faith or love or compassion or whatever. We're skeptical, we're pessimistic, we're preoccupied, distracted, lazy, uninspired, selfish, insecure, unconvinced, just like the disciples were that day. A lot of time, if you're anything like me, you're just downright full of excuses. But just like the disciples in the gospel, Jesus gives us something greater than even our best excuses. He gives us more than just a miracle. He gives us something even better than bread and fish to chew on. Jesus reveals to us just what a high opinion God has, not only for the lost and the lonely, the sick and the needy, those people gathered on the hillside that day for whom he showed so much compassion, but Jesus reveals to us what a high opinion God has of those who believe in and want to follow him so faithfully. What I hear Jesus saying is, don't wait for someone else to do it. Don't pretend you don't have the time or the skills or the resources to do God's bidding in this world. Don't pretend that you're not qualified or capable. Don't put it off for another day or time or moment when it might be more convenient for you. Don't wait for Jesus to do it in your place. You give them something to eat. Jesus wanted his disciples to think not in terms of what they did not have, but rather in terms of what God had given them. The message in our gospel lesson is that if we embrace a challenge, if we bring forward what we have, no matter how little, then God will do the rest. We'll never know for sure what happened that day when more than 5,000 hungry people were fed. Some believe that Jesus literally broke the bread and the fish and they multiplied in a mystical manner so that a large quantity of food was produced. But there's another theory that says as Jesus and his disciples shared the little they had, it encouraged others in the multitude to share what they had until a loving community was formed where where each gave what he could and received what he needed. And maybe that's a greater miracle. Since we can't know precisely what happened, we need to remember that this story took on a profound importance for the early church for reasons that still affect us today. The story is a sharp reminder of how individual Christians must never be so wrapped up in their own problems or concern that we withdraw from the world and refuse to provide help and support to others when it's needed. Left alone, we can easily think like the disciples, send them away. It's not our problem. But this is an attitude that God won't accept. He calls us to be generous, to share. Isn't there some way that each of us could feed someone? Maybe it's a coworker who could use a hand or some encouragement. Maybe it's a neighbor who's having a hard time. Maybe it's someone or something in our own congregations, a committee, a small group, a local ministry that needs your time and your talents. We can't wait for someone else to do it. We can't pretend that we aren't capable or qualified or called to respond to the needs around us. And we can't wait for Jesus to do it all by himself. Let's be amazed by this story. Let's stand in awe over the miracle that Jesus did. But let's think about our mission here too, as a congregation and as individual followers of Christ. Let's hear Jesus's command to give the world something to eat. And let's realize that we have all we need to make that happen. That because of God's love for us, we are called and we are capable of doing the work of Christ for the sake of the world. And when we do, there will be more than enough of that love and grace and hope to go around with leftovers besides. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.